This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's radio.
Free
radio.
Your thoughts on this whole process of transferring this natural grass field that we're standing in front of right now into an AstroTurf, but an AstroTurf specifically for two field hockey pitches that, as I understand it, will be locked up after the Pan Am games are over, and it just won't be for general public use anymore.
Well, this open field has been a naturalized environment since before settlement from Europeans started to transform it. But it's always been natural, it's always been green, and it's always been a commons that frames the heritage of the university. But frames it in a way that allows everybody, the common folk, to use it as a commons. What the university has decided to do, and they've decided to do this in other areas, is to prioritize it for one very select group of students, high-performance athletes, but not even all high-performance athletes, rugby players and cricketers and tackle football players won't be able to use this field. It'll only be able to be used by a very few folks who can tread lightly on it. Field hockey is one use, but and a couple other uses that might be permitted, but it's a very distinct kind of turf. And when you start talking about the distinct kind of turf, what we know about natural and artificial fields is that they perform very differently when it comes to climate change. Artificial turf, and a varsity stadium shows this, is an extraordinary generator of heat. It retains the sun's rays. It bakes the heat into its infrastructure, and then releases it to the surrounding buildings. So the pressure on air conditioning and on energy consumption related to heat generation in the downtown core, that all becomes worse. The trees will see the water and the air evaporate very quickly. The substructure will evaporate. It will block the rain that falls from getting to their roots. So the stand of trees around this field will be compromised. All of these things are issues that we would think the university would take note of. Certainly their faculty of forestry has raised the issue. Their environmental sciences department have raised the issue. Their landscape architecture departments have raised the issue. The leading minds of the university have called into question this program. We tried to have it studied at City Hall, but the momentum of the Pan Am Games and the desire by Summit Council to put the goals and the ambitions of the Pan Am Games ahead of the needs of the university or the local community won the day. And so it looks like this field is about to be plowed under.
Mm-hmm. And was there no other place that they could have put the field hockey pitches other than tearing up a natural grass field and replacing it with AstroTurf?
Well, the epicenter of field hockey in Canada is actually near Brampton, where they already have international grade composition, international grade standards met with the fields they have. They are prepared to put a second pitch down and a more permanent stadium there to give Field Hockey Canada a real home. But the Pan Am organizers have chosen to showcase downtown Toronto as part of the way they portray the city to the Americas during the Pan Am Games. And they wanted a marquee setting for some of their sports facilities, as small as the field hockey games may be.
Mm-hmm. But even if they decided that they wanted to put the Pan Am field hockey games here, why could they have not gone with a natural surface? I mean, why go with this AstroTurf?
The Field Hockey Federation has determined that the game is played better on carpet than on grass. And
really?
So that's the international competitive. If you're going to qualify for the Olympics, you've got to qualify on a pitch which meets the international standards. And they've decided that artificial turf is a better surface for field hockey. You know, I guess the irregularities of grass and natural turf, which is where the sport was invented, no longer satisfies the needs of their athletes. I guess I've played lots of sports on grass, and yeah, it's uneven. You can trip and dip, and balls take a weird bounce, and people can get injured. But
let's face it, too. I mean, with AstroTurf, it's like almost playing like on concrete. You get carpet burns.
Yep.
In fact, there are a lot more injuries.
Oh, yeah.
A lot more injuries on AstroTurf, which is why the reason some of the Major League Baseball parks and even some of the NFL football stadiums went back to grass, or at least a synthetic form of grass, as opposed to this AstroTurf.
They want to play on a carpet, and I'll let the International of Grass Hockey organizations explain why turf is better than grass. That's their decision, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm a city councilor, I'm not part of the Olympic movement, I'm not going to weigh in on that. I think that there are implications for it. I mean, I think that, you know, it's probably as well. You know, in climates where you get a lot of rain, you know, it's a very particular kind of grass you got to play on when you are playing on natural grass for field hockey. My guess is that what they're worried about is scheduling. If you've got a couple of days of rain and you chew the field up, you can't play for 4 or 5 days. I guess a turf pitch also gives them predictability. And if you're trying to televise back to South Asia, where the sport's very, very big, you probably want, you know, predictable scheduling times. But that's what's taken precedent over naturalized environments.
Mm-hmm. But if they were that concerned with it, couldn't they put down a synthetic surface at the Air Canada Centre and play on that,
yeah,
similar to the lacrosse?
They my guess is they're probably going to zip up this turf and put a new field down as soon as it's laid, because, you know, you see folks playing touch football here right today. You can't do that on this turf.
No.
In fact, the way those kids are dressed and the tumbles I've seen them take recently, they would be injured very badly if they played on that turf. It's like a Brillo pad. It is the most prescribed turf of any sporting event that takes place in natural turf. So, you know, for the university to claim that they're going to use this field for intramural sports following the Pan Am Games, it'll require a substantial change to the turf.
Mm-hmm. And what about the fact, too, that as the city expands, as we put up more and more, you know, multi-story condominium buildings, we actually need more green space,
yes,
and less green space. I mean, it just seems to be that we're headed in the wrong direction.
With or without growth, we need more green space in the city. It helps us, you know, you take a look at what's happening in Calgary. That's a direct example of us engineering our waterways all the time. And then, ironically, in Alberta's case, our dependency on fossil fuels with climate change, the heat island spikes, the irregular water patterns, we need the natural environment as our ally in dealing with the damage we've done to the planet. Doing what they've done makes the situation that much worse. And so, you know, it's not just this field, there are other fields. I mean, we're hearing that there's a proposal to turn Central Tech now into a turf field and put a bubble over it all year round. The school board is looking at it as a revenue generator. If they can get, you know, 6 months of permits or 9 months of permits instead of 3 months of permits, they can make money. At some point, the desire to make money has got to be measured against the cost that these infrastructure programs have on our ability to manage that climate change.
And is that because of the fact that we are simply not increasing taxes at the level that they need to be in order to maintain our services?
We're not building a city, let alone a government, for the future. We're barely dealing with today. And most of it's, you know, under the current leadership and under current sort of, you know, a lot of economic policy that you see around the world is we're actually making things worse than making things better. And we're building costs into future generations. It's not showing up as a debt like the banks would measure, but it's an environmental and a social debt. And if we don't start to think differently about how we manage our cities and manage our public resources and create public policy to protect the public good, whether it's with tax dollars or just good smart policy, we're driving costs into these public institutions that they quite frankly won't have the capacity to deal with in the future. So, you know, you look at this field, if you're going to do anything with this field, perhaps a geothermal staging ground would be an ideal spot that you could amplify and add to the district heating and cooling as part of the university's approach to their energy needs. This field probably has the geothermal capacity to heat and cool all the buildings around it. Now, instead of doing that, what you're doing is you're actually driving heat into those buildings, which require more electricity and more fuel being consumed somewhere else. So at some point, we have to get smarter about the resilient cities that we're trying to build. And whether it's tax dollars or good public policy, we have to think stronger about these things and not just simply default to one-time sporting events to get playing field hours extended.
Now, you made a motion at City Hall. You tried to get this field designated a heritage site. Why do you think that didn't pass at City Council?
I think sometimes in politics, when you mix sports, people get carried away with the boosterism of sports as opposed to the long-term needs of a city. And so you see it with the Olympics. You see it in Brazil right now with the demonstrations. Major events like the Pan Am Games, like the Olympics, are a little bit like steroids for athletes. They buff a city up for a week or two or a month or so, but when the event leaves town, the facilities are near useless, and the impact of reorganizing your city to accommodate a two-week spectacle may drive some good into some facilities. Housing has been one of the areas where we've profited, but when it comes to recreational or natural environment, we tend to transform our cities to accommodate these spectacles, and at the end of the Olympics, we're left with effectively muscle we don't need, and that's why I think we act referred to as economic steroids in some places.
And let's be honest too, it's not like the Pan Am Games are high on the priority list of sports fans. It's not the Olympics, and I haven't seen a whole lot of excitement other than the organizers.
I think, be fair to Pan Am, I think that gathering nations together to celebrate cultural events, sports being one of them, is not the worst thing you can do in the world.
No, but does it have to cost millions of dollars? But that's the issue.
Yeah, but I think it's getting to the point where the infrastructure investments are all about single events, not about sustainability. And yeah. I think that the Pan Am Games, it's great to gather, it's great to have the sporting events. You know, athletes and athletics are part of my family activities, but you know, if I'm a cricket player, if you're asking me if I'd rather play on an artificial turf wicket or a grass wicket, I know what my answer is. And if you're telling, and if you're asking me whether you know the entire city's park system should be transformed to host a cricket tournament, I'd tell you you're crazy. Can we do better? Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe with all the science here, they could show you how to build a natural turf, which is good for the environment. Maybe what we should be showcasing here is our expertise rather than defaulting to the easiest response, which is to put a turf field down. I mean, the grass is growing here.
Yeah.
Rolling the grass, cutting the grass, maintaining it for play is not impossible. And I think it's part of it's tied to the television rights, the Pan Am Games. They want to get all the sports done in under 2 weeks. They want anything to go off schedule. Rain plays havoc with grass fields, and rather than let players sit in the sidelines while it's raining, they'd rather have people be able to play in the rain under the television lights. I think that's what's driving the agenda more than the Pan Am Games.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Adam, right. Thanks so much for your time.
For rabble.ca, this is John Bonner. Thank you for listening to John Bonner's audio blog, hosted by Rabble.ca and the Rabble Podcast Network.